Okay, Sif Tess. So the Gemara Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, we saw that Seidas Nachash Loish Chana was Pater and Mutter. On Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, it says that when it comes to Tzadis HaParush, so Yeshua says Pater Aval Aser, but Tosu says even though Parush is Pater Aval Aser, if it's no Sheikh Adam, then it's Mutter Likachana Ula Ashlicho Me'alav. Demishum Tsar Shari. And this relates to the discussion we had yesterday at the end, which is under what conditions are we matir a shvus b'makom tsar. So as we said, that's a big discussion. We're going to don't have time to focus on the broader ramifications, but at the very least, that's what Tosfos says over here. And Tosfos doesn't bring a makor. He just says this din from the Gemara, you would think it's aser. Tosfos says, no, it's mutter. L'chayra sounds like we're actually being matir here two isurim. One is tiltal, and two is seda, and that's they're both mutter because of tsar. The Rush though does bring a riot to this from the fact that it's mutter litol asakot, even though it's muksa. That's a little strange. The riot of the Rush because there it's hezeka derabim. It's a kotz birshas harabim. So maybe you would think that a kotz birshas harabim is more chamor just because we're matir. Just like we saw yesterday in a more extreme form, the Bahag thought we could be matir and it's a deraisa, but makom hezeka derabim. So we certainly don't accept that. But still on a derabanan level, how could we learn from the fact that we're matir, kotz birshas harabim, we're matir, that is a derabanan to here, where it's just a mosquito giving me a mosquito bite? So you have to say either that you only need hezeka derabim to be matir, tiltal, bekarmelis, maybe because it's more chamor, but the heter here is even without hezeka derabim, again, a little difficult because bishlam and muksa, you could say, is a little more kal. We do have kulas by muksa that we don't have by other shvusim. But tzeda derabanan mechatesi to be matir. So possibly the more mistaber way to go is that the pshat, the way he was looking at it is that yes, Rabim is more kal because there, even though there's not something actually being noshech, it's sort of a future concern. So that's why you need the Rabim. But be'etzem, the heter is the same. In other words, the reason why we're makel over there is not because Rabim is more likely to be matir nisr. Rather, the pshat is that Rabim is more likely for there to be tsar or nezek or the like. But in this case, where I could see there's about to be nezek, right? Because the bugs on my arm, the mosquitoes on my arm, mosquitoes, when they, you know, land on your arm, they don't just land there to hang out. We know what they're there for. So therefore, just like in a robin, we say, well, because it's a robin, it's likely for somebody to be harmed. So when I see, even by the yachid, I'm about to be harmed, then I could be makel. Now, something to point out is that there's not that much tsar in a neshicha of a parush. It's not exactly clear what it is. The Rishonim actually ask, trying to figure out what's the kinan, what's the parush. But al kopanim, it's not like a big thing. It's not like we talked about yesterday, the snakes or the scorpions or the like. This is seems like a minor bite. Obviously, it must cause some amount of pain. But again, I imagine it's something like a mosquito or some type of biting flea. We're not talking about a big thing. And still, we are willing to be matir. Now, if you look at the Gra, Sifkan Yotesi writes, Dafka Oktso. And his Rai is, it has to be like Mapis Morsa, that it's at the time of the Tsar, to relieve the Tsar. Not entirely clear what the Kavana is, but I think he's probably coming Lafuke the Taz. The Taz is matir, even if it's not Oktso Mamish. And you expect it to happen. It's a good chance, but it's not mamish oktso. And what the Gra is saying is, no, it has to be mamish oktso. So al chaluko shu samach levsaro is mutter, but basaro. So again, like we said, once a mosquito or something like that's on your flesh, then that's good enough. But if it's flying around the room or something like that, you're not allowed to trap the mosquito that's flying around the room. And again, it seems that to some degree here, we have a machlokas between the Gra and the Taz. I'm not sure how farther Taz is willing to go either, but we have a machlokas about whether you're allowed to do the shvus to prevent some type of impending tsar. According to the Gra, it's aser. That's the pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch, though the Taz tries to argue that the Shulchan Aruch would be moda to him. That's los ora, the suffix also of the Beis Yosef. Al kopanim, that's the machlokas here. Yes?
Are we saying that the Gra would not if it's on the bus or even if it's not biting?
I think by definition, once it's on the basar, your expectation is it's going to, it's no shave. Because that's what it is, no?
And as opposed to saying when it's actually biting.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's coming off the taz, even if it's not yet on your basar. I'm saying that because I think, because the gra is, let's look. I didn't bring my Shulchan Aruch, but the Lashon Shulchan Aruch is so. Let me read the Gra. The Oktzo Dafka Oktzo Kamosha Kasav Mathis Morsa Dafka Bitzara Sheba. So you're suggesting that, I'll tell you why I didn't read it that way. And maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. Is because by the time it's actually, okay, it's too late. In other words, once the mosquito starts sucking the blood, so it's done already. So that's why I thought that this is true. And the raya is that because the makor for all this is the Tosfos and the other Rishonim that say this. And if we look at how they say it, oh, maybe I'm wrong. Tosfos also says, no Sheikha Adam, Mutar Likachenu. I was assuming that, as I said, once it's on your flesh, at least when it comes to something like a mosquito, the Mishnah Brura says, Umashkas of Oktso. I'll tell you why I think that. The way the Mishnah Berurah at least sounds, I think, like I was saying, because he sets up the machlokas as chaluko mebifnim. So according to the Taz, he's makel al chaluko mebifnim litlo biyado lashlicho. And that's the Makel view. So the Machmir view is Machmir, even if it's just sitting on your flesh, even if it hasn't started biting. And the reason is because that's imminent and inevitable.
The Machmir
view is the Gra. So the Makel view is Makel, even if it's not on your flesh, it's merely Al Chaluko Mibifnim. The Machmir view says it's only mutter if it's not on chaluko, but on your basar. But now, the reason, I don't think you're wrong in principle. I think that the mitzios is that when a mosquito is on your flesh, so then it's imminent and inevitable, and that's why it's mutter, even according to the Gra. You don't have to wait till it bites you, because by then it's too late. Yes?
We thought maybe you could even dive in the basios, like Rebbe's saying, mm-hmm. because he says, and he says, the miration and delusion of Mashma, the Loshari Lipla Elabishasha and Shekha Stavka, the Habibisasa Shlechvenu, Ha'ina Al Habasar.
Right. Okay, beautiful. So Beis Yosef sounds that way. Okay. Now it's interesting. The Magen Avraham Yodches asks, according to the Machmirim, why is it different from Kotz Birshus HaRabim that we are Matir even, you know, there's a Tzad L'Hachmir that impending pain is not sufficient, But by kotz birshus harabim, we're matir, even if it's impending, right? Now, if we don't wait for the guy to step on the kotz or inevitably and imminently step on the kotz, we're allowed to move it. We're allowed to preemptively act in the kotz birshus harabim. So it's interesting. I would have thought the answer is, well, maybe birshus harabim is different, like I was saying before. But perhaps Magen Avraham didn't want to say it that way, because once that's true, so then you shouldn't be able to extrapolate from Rishus HaRabim to here in the first place, which we saw the Rush does. So instead, the Magen Avraham answers that here, Leka Ela Tzar Be'alma. Now, I guess that raises a different question. If it's only Tzar Be'alma, then how come it's Mutter at all? Maybe it's Kotz Rishus HaRabim. Whatever we're worried about is obviously more painful. But I guess the possibility of pain level 10 is equal to the prevention of the inevitable pain level 5. Somehow or another, we're equating it. Magen Avraham says that Samar Mekel, in other words, Samar Mekel, even for impending pain, by the Parush, he's not Machriya. Mishnah Berurah Lamed Zayin also is not quite Machriya. That sort of sounds like maybe you could be Mekel E.F. Sherbinian Acher. Shart Tzion Samach Gimel points out that it seems to be Machlokas Rishonim about this point, and the like. Okay. Now, all this is with respect to Tzeda. What about killing it? Are you allowed to kill this mosquito on your arm? So the Beis Yosef's test brings out a Machlokas Rishonim. Are we Mekel that you're allowed to kill it? Shel Yishchenu. The Tur and others seem to say it's aser, that the neshicha of the parush is not sufficiently painful to permit killing. Rabbeinu Tam is matir mididave mapis morsa the kibbutz gachal sheol yazuku. The Beis Yosef paskins lachomra. Again, here we have this question: why? What is a svara to be machalik between killing and trapping? Question we discussed yesterday. If you learn like Tosfos, Pasha, I mean the Rambam Pashat. Tosfos seems to distinguish in a different way because one is Mefarsima Milsa Tfei, as we explained yesterday. Another way to explain it would be that Hariga is more chamor because it's Eina Tzricha Lagufa, which is a more chamor Shvos. And the truth is, that, though again, that's going to be a great distinction because the whole makor for this is anyway mapis morsa, or likely mapis morsa, which is in shichal gufa. But the truth is over here, when it comes to tzeda, it's not just a single shvus, it's a double derabanan. It's eno shichal gufa plus it's eno mino nitzod. So it might simply be that we are going to minimize the violation and trapping it is a shvus de shvus, whereas killing it would be a shvus alone, a single shvus. It would be a netzricha legufa. It's actually sort of interesting because from here, really only you see shvus de shvus as being mutter, but the sources indicate that even a single shvus would be mutter. So therefore, we don't allow killing it. The Shartzion has an additional reason why we're not matir killing it, because that's ikaro min haTorah. It's not clear what he means exactly. I mean, you could say it's because en shichal gufa is ikaro min haTorah, so that's why we're more machmir for killing. Say it is also ikaro min haTorah. Is he saying that because en shichal gufa is like a shvus klali, so that's why we're more machmir as opposed to Ein b'mino nitzav, which is prati, not so clear. Magen Avraham says something very interesting. Magen Avraham over here, Yotah says that the difference is because hahor go chayev, right? Why can't you kill it? Because that's an issur d'oraisa. One second, that's an issur d'oraisa. That's going according to the Rambam. So I think that the pshat Magen Avraham here. So the Mishnah Berurah says that what the Magen Avraham mean chayev meaning it's ikram not Torah. But that's a little docha. That's not what chayev means. I think the pshat in the Magen Avraham is that he thinks that the machaber over here is so similar like the Rambam. In other words, in a chanami, it doesn't make so much sense to distinguish between trapping and killing unless you hold like the Rambam. But if you're like the Rambam, it's obvious why you distinguish between trapping and killing, because killing is an issur d'oraisa. And that's the pshat. So you're saying, oh, and we, I don't know if you remember, but we pointed out that we pointed to this Magen Avraham back when we learned Meleches, Gziza, Gozes. So if you remember over there, the Magen Avraham, the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham explained that in this case, you would be chayev if you hold in a tzricha lugufas chayev for gozes in the case that you need a sheitel. And the Mishnah Berurah said, what's he talking about? He can't possibly learn that's the pshat and mechaber, because what about white hairs and the like? So the Mishnah Berurah sort of was docha, the Magen Avraham. So we said the pshat and Magen Avraham is that the Magen Avraham is not explaining the Shulchan Aruch over there. He's saying, if you hold that in a tzricha lugufas pater, this is what you'd have to say. The Magen Avraham, though, himself seems to, we see over here, learns that the Shulchan Aruch is not consistent. And sometimes he's so same one way, and sometimes he's so same another way. So even though in our Sif, the Shulchan Aruch only brought down the Rambam Shita Yesh Omrim as a secondary opinion, but still, this Sif, he explains in light of that. Okay, so we talked about that before. Yes.
This is going back a little bit. I was thinking one of the differences between the Kosel Bershus HaRabim and the Parosh is that to get rid of the, I mean, it would not be practical to wait for someone to come along and warn him, you know, don't step on the coats. The nature of the Rabim is you need to get rid of it now.
Correct. That's I agree with that 100%. And that's, in fact, what we said. We just, there's a chiddush there. How do you know that's the pshat? As maybe the pshat is we're just more makel because it's Rabim. How do you know the pshat is that it's nothing to do with Rabim, it's just a practical concern. That's the point we were trying to bring out. Yes, Aaron.
On Rabbi's pshat, isn't it a little strange that it's at best the Mechaber says Ula Rambam Chayiv, and he specifically mentions the Rambam as like another Shita, and then all of a sudden it's like,
so that's why the Mishnah Berurah does not want to say this. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah, Lashitasa in the Magen Avraham, doesn't learn the Magen Avraham that way. But I don't think it's the Pashtus in the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham thinks, and we saw this as the view of the Gra as well, that sometimes the Mechaber will present a din according to the Rambam. And so, yes, he brings down two shitos, and this is like that opinion. I guess he expects you to figure it out, because otherwise, mechatesi l'chalik. Okay, so lemaisa. We have in Siv Zayin that when it comes to nechashim and akravim, or shara masim hamazikim, so then it's mutter latzot osam b'shvil shelo yishchenu. And here we're matir A, even if yesh b'mino nitzod, because we're matir nachash, even if it's had nachash l'refuah yirchayev. And we say dafka, things like nachashim and akravim, shenichashichasam kashim eod. And that's why they were matir even enetriv l'gup. Lagabe hariga of these types of things, meaning snakes and scorpions. So then we say it's mutter if ratzim acharev lahargam, otherwise only darso lefi tuma. What does lefi tuma mean? Machlokas rishonim, but rov rishonim say that means even b'miskavein, but it looks like you're not miskavein. And why is it mutter? Why is it aser lahargam biadayim in this case? So the Rambam, because it's nesa deraisa, Tosos, because it's mefarsim amilsa. In terms of siftes, so then we have the lower level pain, parush, that is mutter to do tzeda if it's al besaro v'okzo, otherwise it's aser, and it's also aser v'hargo. That's the way we paskin, and we talked about why we would distinguish between hargo and tzeda, and also machlokas, whether okzo is dafka or lav dafka. Lemaisa, there are therefore, I would say, three dargos. We have makom pikuach nefesh, meaning they're lethal, so then it's mutter lahargan, even if they're not ratzon acharav. We have no safik pikuach nefesh, it's tsar shelo yazuk, so then where that's the middle case, nachash va'akrav. Then we have the parush and the like, where we're even more making. So those are the three dargos. I guess there's four dargos. Fourth darga, if you have a bug that doesn't bite at all, like, I don't know, an ant or something like that, then obviously you couldn't trap it at all, even if you find it annoying or something like that. So I assume that a mosquito is like the parush, like we said. So you couldn't trap a mosquito that's flying around the room, but you could trap it if it's on the skin. Though I don't know why you'd ever have to actually trap it. You could usually just shoo it off. But in theory, if you needed to, you could. A big question is, what about a bee? What about a bee? This comes up. Bee comes into your house. Bee comes into your sukkah. Are you allowed to trap it? Right? So again, if it's on your arm, so that's pasha. It's no worse than the parush. The question is, could we treat the bee like the akrav, or do we have to treat the bee like the parush? If it's like, you know, and it's probably somewhere in between. I've never been bitten by a scorpion or a snake for that matter. But I imagine it's a lot worse than a bee sting. But at the same time, a bee sting is probably a lot worse than a parush. So is it going to be mutter to trap it? So the Alter Rebbe is machmir. He says a tzirah, which is a wasp, is like the parush. This is also cited in Dershow Note 64. And maybe if the Bir Alachan Sefches writes, Dum Yud in a Chash Vakravim, Sheni Chishi Chasam Kasha Me'od, Kasha Me'od. So a bee sting, is a Kasha Me'od? Probably not. Maybe if there's a little baby around, so maybe then you could be more makel. If somebody, obviously if somebody's like allergic to bee stings, it's pachat. But for a stam person, a bee sting, right? Our bees are actually what most people, like the things that fly into the sukkah, are usually not bees, actually they're wasps. Like the yellow jackets are wasps, which is important because if it was a bee, so then it's actually a deraisa shaila for trapping it in terms of yesh b'mino nitzot. It would still be in its yechal gufa, but it would have at least be mino nitzot. So it'd be, it wouldn't be a shvus to shvus. Whereas when it comes to yellow jackets, which are usually what fly into your house or fly into your sukkah, so those are, I think, in b'mino nitzot. They're wasps. So therefore, perhaps there's more room to be mako. But some are machmir, like I said, the Alter Rebbe, and the Israeli poskim, for the most part, seem to be machmir, Orcho Shabbos, Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa. They are all machmir on this shaila. But I saw the American poskim, they're more mako. Rabbi Ribbi, yeah, the Simcha Banim Kohn, I think they're mako. So maybe Americans are wimps, maybe American poskim are more mako, I don't know. But they would be makel on the case of the yellow jackets. Yes?
Okay. Two questions. What's the difference between yellow jackets and bees? Why one would be in a mitzvah?
Well, bees we saw as a machlokas, whether yesh b'mino nitzod, they're considered mino nitzod, eno mino nitzod, right? That was the Bach and the Beis Yosef. Yeah, bees are, when I say bees, I meant honeybees.
But for me, I don't think they're in a mitzvah.
No, but it doesn't matter for you. In other words, you're right, there would be eno tzichel gufa, but the question of mino nitzot or eno nino nitzot is dependent on the species. Are these things that are trapped? Nobody traps yellow jackets.
For studying.
Then everything is mino nitzot. Then so are mosquitoes, right? So we don't bring rice from entomologists. So when we say mino nitzel, we mean that these are trapped by people because there's a purpose in trapping them. So bees, there's a purpose in trapping them because they make honey, they produce something. So beekeepers, at the very least, trap bees. That's part of their avoda, just like deer are mino nitzel. Whereas yellow jackets, I don't think they serve any, I don't want to say they serve a purpose in the bria, but nobody other than maybe bug keepers, traps them to have them because they don't serve any purpose. There's no value in having a bug, a yellow jacket. So therefore, they're for sure a derabbanan, at least. And therefore, if you're just trying to protect yourself, it's a double derabbanan because it's ein etzichel gufa plus ein b'mino nitzot.
How do you trap it without getting stung?
So it happens in the sukkah all the time. Usually, The way most commonly happens is you have a cup of soda and the bug is inside and you just put a plate on top of it and now you've trapped your bee. It's a mutter to do that.
If it's on you,
for sure, it's lo garif from a mosquito. So on you isn't a shaila. The shaila is, like I said, it's in your sukkah. right? You're eating lunch, and this bee is buzzing around. Now it goes into one. We'll talk about setting a trap in a moment. There's an additional tzad to be made for setting a trap. But the case is, right, happens every sukkahs. The bee goes into your cup. It's very easy to now put something on top of it, and Baruch Hashem, you got it out of the way, at least until the next one comes. So is that mutter or aser, right? So if we're going to treat it like an akrav, mutter. If we're going to treat it like a parvelish, aser. Not so clear which one to treat it like. Yes?
Can you ask me on Shabbos after Shabbos about a hornet?
People are more afraid of hornets, so I think if yellow jackets are a suffix, then hornets are also wasps. So it could be the Alter Rebbe would be machmir. But I think a little bit of a factor here also, an interesting question is to what degree does subjective fear go into things? Like my kids, at least some of my kids, go crazy when there's a bee around. Now, and bees, these things, you know, whatever, they hurt for a couple of minutes and it's not actually that big of a deal. But their level of fear is like totally disproportionate to the amount of pain. In fact, we once had, one of my kids got stung by a bee. I was like, whoa, it's not so bad. It's just like six, like compared to what she expected, because it's like this great fear of bees, you know. So, but in the end of the day, there is this, again, maybe depends on, you know, the kids or the like, but there's this tremendous hachad of the fear. So I think that could be a factor. It's less obvious. You know, it's interesting, Shaila, also, we'll talk about mouse traps in a couple of minutes. Same thing. Mice don't do anything. Mice never hurt anybody. I mean, they might like eat your food. But, you know, there are some people who like, their fear of mice is like knows no bounds. I mean, like a tiger is nothing compared to a mouse. So it's an interesting question. In other words, where, you know, how do we look at that type of subjective fear in terms of halacha? You know, there are areas where we certainly in halacha does take that into account. Elad.
Two questions. One, the fact that the yellow jacket is supposed to shvist makom tzar, is Rabbi saying therefore it's bevadei mutter, or maybe it's still a suffix because it's not shvist, because one of them is not a mir l'nachri?
So that's what we talked about yesterday. Yesterday we pointed out the Mishnah Berurah seems to be making shvist shvist makom tzar over here, but it seems to be steers in the Mishnah Berurah. Halach l'mais, we're not so excited about shvist shvist makom tzar when neither is a mir l'nachri. And the truth is that, as I said, a bee sting isn't that much tsar. Like, I don't know, if it was just me in the sukkah, I would not trap. First of all, they don't do anything if you don't bother them. And second of all, even if they did sting you, it's like, it's not a big deal. But first of all, the Alter Rebbe is machmir. And as I said, many contemporary poskim are machmir on the shaila. And I assume they're machmir because of a combination of A, not thinking that it's sufficient tzar to be matir shvus to shvus, or B, they think we're not matir shvus to shvus unless one of them is a mir l'nachri. And since they think it doesn't fall under the heter of nachash ve'akrav, so memela, they're machmir. Go ahead.
Every now and then, at least when I was younger, I would hear in the summer that there's a chashash of malaria. Make sure to put on lots of bug spray when you go out this summer. Is that a reason to make it a pikuach nefesh, and therefore it would be mutter to kill a mosquito, even if it's not Ratz Acharav, and at least if it's coming near you?
I don't think we really treat it as pikuach nefesh in the sense that if you really saw it as pikuach nefesh, you wouldn't go out. Or you wouldn't go out without, excessive caution. So we don't really now. I don't think we see it as pikuach nefesh either, because it's such a remote chash, or because malaria is treatable nowadays. I'm not sure. But one of the things we're actually going to see in just a couple of minutes is an idea from Shlomo Zalman, which is In terms of determining whether something is pikuach nefesh or not, one factor is statistics, namely, what is the likelihood of fatality? That's one factor. But another factor is look at how people treat it. So he gives an example. This is an example that many people brought up when COVID vaccines came up. Rishon Zalman was writing well before that, but his example was inoculation. So let's say measles and mumps. So measles is pikuach nefesh. People die. Little children die because of measles. But you don't see people treating inoculations as pikuach nefesh. In other words, like when you call up the doctor and say, okay, you know, the baby becomes eligible for the measles vaccine, let's say at 40 days. So, you know, let's say the baby turns, well, let's even imagine that's made up. That's not just a made up share, but it's rooted in hard science. Good. So the baby turns 40 days on Sunday. So the doctor says, okay, so come in Monday, right? Now, if it was pikuach nefesh, they'd say, okay, so do it Sunday, right? We'd open up for you. Go to the hospital. Go to the emergency room. I don't know. You know, nobody's treating it as pikuach nefesh, right? That's where it came up, like I said, during COVID. During COVID, you know, could you drive to get your shot on Shabbos? Like the offices that were giving the COVID vaccines were not staying open 24 hours a day, even though they could have. Like if they wanted to, they could have. You know, emergency rooms stay open. It would have been hard. It would have been very expensive. So Rav Shmuel Zalman sort of saying, well, you're not being honest with yourself when you call it, if you want to say it's pikuach nefesh and you could therefore drive to get it on Shabbos. So then why aren't the vaccine distribution places staying open 24 hours a day? So you're not treating it like pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh, you're not going to close down at night. Rav Asher Weiss has a shaila about that. There was a doctor who was working on the vaccine, and he felt like he was like on the cusp of getting there, and he wanted to know, could he work on Shabbos? And, you know, one of the questions Rav Asher asked him was, okay, does your lab stay open on Sunday, right? Or other types of things. You have to be consistent. So I don't think, you know, could malaria be a situation of pikuach nefesh? For sure. Is that the way it's usually treated by most people? No. Just because you're more careful to put on, you know, bug spray. So that might, you know, I don't think we'd be matir chol Shabbos for that. If it was a question of chol Shabbos, so then we'd say stay inside. But at the same time, yeah. I mean, I don't know. What's the practice? Could you go ahead and do an iser derabanan? Could you trap the mosquito? If you were concerned about Zika or malaria or something like that, even if it's not on your arm, probably. But I don't think we would call pikuach nefesh, unless it really was. In other words, we'll talk about that a little more. The gadir of what constitutes pikuach nefesh is sometimes hard to be magdir. That's why Shlomo Zalman says, well, like, look at how you're treating it during the week, and that'll give you an inkling of how to treat it on Shabbos. Mayor.
Just a clarification question. The Rishonim are machalik between Al Basaro and Al Chaluko. So when we've been saying Al Basaro, that's not Al Chaluko not included. Is that correct?
Not in Al Chaluko, like, what?
Meaning, like, when we've been saying the heter of, like, trapping a paros only if it's Al Basaro. But if it was Al Chaluko, that would still be Asher?
So it's not clear. The Mishnah Berurah is not machriya. It sort of sounds actually a little bit like he's nota lahakil if Yashar Beninah there, right? If we look at Mishnah Berurah Lamed Zayin again, so first he quotes the Machmirim, namely the Gra, then he quotes the Makilim, namely the Taz, and he concludes Vim Afshar lo la pilo la aretz belil nitil biyad bevade nachum mahakmir bezat. So the impression you get from the Mishnah Berurah is that you should try to be machmir, but if efshar, then you could be mako. So if it's al chaluko mibifnim, so try to get it out without picking it up, and trapping it, like shake it out. But if you can't, it sounds like he's actually no telahaka on the shayla.
That's only if it's achaluka mibifnim, but not mibachot.
Yeah, I think so.
Mibachot, we would certainly.
I think that's right. In other words, even a taz would be machmir in that case. Yes, Gabe.
The shayla tzion sam gim adikim. If it helps out, but not waiting.
Right. Hey, so he quotes a machal. Let's just look. Bainbel Yerabba, Im Abbasar de Matsui Lavali de Akita Linian Abagadav. So you're. Right. So now Yerabba is Makil, but you're saying maybe it would be Asar like the Gra. Avokeh, Humana Machmirin, Dafil Abbasar, Kosmanchin, also Asar. Right. Okay, Nachlachlach, Chatrila. Right. So maybe, you know, again, maybe I'm wondering a little bit about if it depends on the type of animal. Meaning to say, if you have to wait for it to be okay, it could be that there's no value in the kula. Like once you wait for that. In other words, the machmirim are machmir only in the event that by being machmir, it's not azule kala kula labira. There's no, well, no, because if you wait for it to bite you, it's bitten you.
Well, since maybe you want to make on the case when, like,
so they're
like,
they're
made, like the things once it's out.
Yeah. Well, I think the point is the way I imagine it is again, and you're right. In other words, we have Aaron's diuk from the Beis Yosef. I think it's a good diuk. I think you're correct that from this rokeach, I didn't look it up, but it doesn't sound that way. What I'm wondering about is it depends on the bug. In other words, for some bugs, some you can, it's possible to wait for it to start biting you, and then still you could get it off you in time not to get hurt. And others, you couldn't. So, like a mosquito, I think mosquitoes, I've seen them. When I was a kid, I used to be fascinating watching mosquitoes bite. It drove my mother crazy because I would let them do it because it was just interesting to watch. But, like, as soon as they land, they get down to business. They don't, like, sit around. So they see you, they land, and they get started. So I think it's hard to imagine anyone being masmir in that case. If you're masmir in that case, then there's no cool anymore.
Comment?
Yes.
I think parosh is normally translated as flea. I don't know what flea bites are like. Do they, maybe they're procedurally different from mosquito bites. I'd have to check encyclopedia, I suppose. But it could be that a flea lands and maybe to shoo it off afterwards would still be some benefit.
Yes. All right. Much more to say on this, but I think we're going to go on to the next topic. Yes.
Very quickly.
Yes.
Did I mention that bees are mino nitzo?
Yes. Well, bees do. We saw it's machlokas whether it's mino nitzo or not. Bach and bees, you're safe.
Right.
Yeah. No, I wasn't being machlokas. I'm saying it's more of a shayla for bees than it is for honey jacket, yellow jackets. Okay. There is a topic that I was thinking of talking about, but I think we're going to skip it, which is could be that hariga and yantif. Is more kal. Rishon Zalman discusses is a tshuva. Tanyana Mincha Shlomo Simen Samech Chav Ches. Whether we would say mitoch, that mitoch, maybe we could be more makel to kill bugs on yantif. Mitoch she hotra netilas neshama letzorech ochal nefesh hotra shelo letzorech ochal nefesh. As long as it's tzorech yantif, but I think we're going to leave that discussion for now. I also wanted to talk about, but I think we're going to skip it, the sugya of Hargo Lefitumo. We mentioned the machlokas Rishonim, whether it's mutter, if it's machavein or not. There's a big machlokas within the Rambam. Shita Rashi sounds like it's only mutter if you're not machavein. Everybody jumps on Rashi. The question is, what's the heter for the Rambam? Because the Rambam, of course, is machmer fein shechel gufa. So the Rambam in Yud Aleph Dalet says, v'ndarsan Lefitumo v'shas hilucho, the Hargon mutter. So the Magid Mishnah thinks that the Rambam is not like Rashi, in which case you have to figure out why it's mutter. The Radvaz thinks the Rambam is like Rashi. He has a very interesting approach, and the Radvaz is a long tshuva about it. And he has a number of possibilities. One of them is quite fascinating, which is that even though there's no sakana, but there's a sakana when you're about to step on it. So it relates to the sugya of creating a situation. In other words, darsu lefitumo. So I'm going to go walk, walk, walk. And now I didn't have to get walk in its direction. But right now, like when my foot's over here, and I don't know, the thing, the akrab is over here. At this point, if I don't kill it, it is the sakana. So now it's mutter. Interesting discussion over there. There's a Merkavas HaMishnah about that, that he tries to argue, talks about in his Kavain. Fine. Another very important kolistic topic that comes up over here, which we'll very briefly discuss, is Magen Avraham Sifkat on Chaf Gimel. And he talks about the Shalali. We're just discussing the Geder of Pikuach Nefesh. So we know that sometimes there is a Shash Pikuach Nefesh. And what about if it's a very far-fetched Shash? Are you allowed to kill it, especially according to the Rambam, where we're dealing with a potential Daraisa? Says the Magen Avraham that yes, if there's a chash pikuach nefesh, but there has to be a limit to that. And therefore, he says, you're not allowed to kill spiders. I'll read you what he writes. Nirali, disar gamarhu, da'ainam azakas, af diyesh locha shi'ipo l'toicha maicho. Apparently, spiders, if they get into your food, they could poison you or something like that, leave some type of venom. I don't know exactly what they were doing, but there is this possibility. So the question is, you're allowed to kill the spider, because if you don't kill the spider, then maybe it'll end up in your food and then it'll poison somebody. No, still aser. Why? One question here is, to what degree are these combined factors? In other words, he's saying, Echad mine aleph is not enough to warrant Chil Shabbos. But he also says, Yachal Lachasos. Is it because Yachal Lachasos also? If it was just Echad mine aleph, but it was Yafshar Lachasos, meaning, you know, you couldn't cover the food, or no, even Echad mine aleph is enough. Sort of sounds like, though, that he's saying that Echad mine aleph does not warrant Chil Shabbos. So the question is, so there's really a bunch of chidushim over here. But we'll just focus on this point. We know that you are Machal Shabbos for Safik Pikuach Nefesh, Sveik Sveika for Pikuach Nefesh. What the Magen Avraham over here is saying is, though, there's a gvul. There is a gvul. And what's that gvul? Echad mine aleph. Now, it's hard to believe, though, some poskim do say this, that Echad mine aleph is like literal, like one in a thousand. He's giving a percentage, 0.1%. What he is certainly is saying, though, is that there's a far-fetched possibility, whatever that is, we're going to call that Echad mine aleph, that is aser. Now, there's an interesting stira in the Magen Avraham about this point. Why? Because elsewhere the Magen Avraham says, you can't be Mechal Shabbos for Echad mine aleph. How so? So the Rambam very famously says that when you have a situation with Kuach Nefesh, you don't deviate from the normal procedure. You don't do a shino, you don't ask a guy, if you look dully Yisrael. But when it comes to Mialedes, the Rambam says you do a shinoi, and the truth is the Gemara, as we already saw, says you do a shinoi. Remember, we talked about that when we did the sugya of Ein Schita B'Seyer. So the Rambam says, yeah, if you couldn't do a shinoi, you should. So Magen Mishnah already asks, what's going on? There's a steer in the Rambam. Magen Mishnah answers, yeah, but Mialedes Echad mine aleph is fatal. Now, it's an interesting shayla, because in the olden days, at the very least, I think childbirth was very dangerous. Does he mean statistics? Does he mean because it's sort of part of the natural order of things as opposed to like a disease. Al kopanim, what the Magen Mishnah says, and the Magen Avraham quotes, is that when it's Echad Minei Aleph, you're Machal Shabbos, but you have to do it with the Shinoi Lekulei. So we have a steer in Magen Avraham. By us, Hilchos Tzedek, the Magen Avraham says, Echad Minei Aleph, you're not Machal Shabbos. By Mialades, the Magen Avraham says, Echad Minei Aleph, you're Machal Shabbos, just you try to avoid doing more than you need to do. So which one is it? So you could just say, it's Lav Dafka, and that Echad Minei Aleph in one case means one in a million, and the other case it means one in a thousand, and it's just a phrase. But Rav Sternbach, I saw in a couple of places, thinks, no, that the Magen Avraham should be taken literally. In other words, presumably, whatever it means in terms of statistics. Now, Rav Sternbach has it. He thinks Echad Minei Aleph is one in 100, which is like very hard to imagine. Like somebody, they say there's a 1% chance if you don't go to the hospital, or let's say it's one in 101. It's less than a 1% chance, and now you're gonna like risk not dying. It's a very strange idea. He quotes it from Shlomo Zalman. If you look at the term Shlomo Zalman says one in 100, one in 1,000. He's also talking about the fact that there must be a gvul. He doesn't say it's 1%. It's a little strange that he quotes him as saying 1%. This is, by the way, in Shuvos Vahanagos, it's Chelakei Simen Shin Saditas. Very, very amazing tshuva. Anyway, he talks about this stira in Magen Avraham. And Bekitzer, his suggestion is the differences between a future danger and a current danger. Namely, in the case of the Mialades, there's a current danger. She's in labor. So yes, it's Echad Minei Aleph that of women that die, and still, in that case, they'll say, yeah, go to the hospital. Okay. Do it with the Shinoi if you can, versus a concern for possibility of danger. That's the case of the spider. In other words, it's not like the spider's in the food. We're just afraid that if we don't kill the spider now, who knows where it'll end up? Maybe it'll end up in my spoon soup, and then maybe the person will get sick, and this, and this, and this. And therefore, it's not a current danger, it's a future danger, and we treat that differently. This question of whether we distinguish between a chola fanacha and the possibility of a chola appears in many poskim, in many contexts, and it's not clear to the degree to which we take this. In this tshuva, he actually quotes Chadar Nish, who says, we don't say tlasa miyemars. Miyemar this, miyemar that, before you get to a sakana. Rishon Zalman, as the tshuva says, there shows that the Gemara Yuma that we saw over the summer, we actually saw it also this year, the locking of the door. The Gemara says, we do say tlasim miyemars. But there's a very famous Binyan Sion. Binyan Sion takes this idea really, really far. He talks about, he thinks that when it comes to a current danger, even if it's a far, far, far-fetched possibility, sakana, when it comes to a future danger, you go 50-50. In other words, you follow Rove. His raya is, the Gemara says, that you could be a sailor. Sailors? It says sailors are chassidim. Why? Because they're always in danger of dying. They're like, and so they're davening at Hashem, like in the Sefer Yonah. So it's a Gemara Nida. So why are they allowed to become a sailor, right? If you can be a Chal Shabbos, Shash Rachok, so then, and there's a chash rachuk, you'll die if you're a sailor, says the Benitzin. It must be that we distinguish between a future possibility and a current danger. You know, there are many, many examples that famous machlokas aposkim about hatzala drivers and whether we allow them to drive back from the hospital because of a future possibility that next time they won't go and the like. So this is the big discussion in autopsies in halacha. You know, the question is, could you do an autopsy to learn? I don't know. Could you go to medical school? A kohen going to medical school, could you? Machal Shabbos on medical school, the Chazon Ish is a discussion about whether they could build a hospital on Shabbos, because if they work 7 days a week, they'll finish it quicker. In that tshuva that I mentioned from Sternbach, he argues that there are three levels. There's cases where for sure you have to be Machal Shabbos. There are cases where for sure you can't be Machal Shabbos, like we said, Yesh Gvul, as we see from here. And then there are middle cases. And he talks about what's the dinim in the middle cases. Schachter's a very interesting theory about that, that the, there is a middle case, and he thinks it's up to the person to decide. In that middle case, there are cases where nobody can be Mechal Shabbos. There are cases where you must be Mechal Shabbos, and there are cases where a person may choose. Anyway, there's a lot to say on this topic, but I will leave it for a fourth year Halach L'maisa. But it's just an interesting ha'ara in terms of the Magen Avraham over here, which is one of the major sources of that discussion. We talk about a little bit about the question of lefitumo in other scenarios in halacha. We already saw that a little bit, but again, we don't have time to talk about that either. And also, I was going to talk about roke, dorsal lefitumo, but we don't have time to talk about that. And I was going to talk about shnayim shasa'ua, we don't have time to talk about that. And I was going to talk about trapping lions, we don't have time to talk about that. So I think we'll just go on to the next malacha. Oh, we're going to talk about trapping people, but we don't have time to talk about that either. Take a look at the Raman Shin Lamed Tesef Dalet. Is a very fascinating discussion of this Tzeid on people, a discussion of Shlomo Zalman. Oh, also, yeah, I wouldn't talk about that either. Well, so is it Derabanan or is it Hatter? The Ramah sort of sounds like it's not an Isser Tzeid at all. It says it's Aser Alts Dinim because, you know, it's like the police arresting the person. But yeah, Yesh Ladun is a Mino Nitzot or not. Okay, Gabe, were you going to say something?
Why would they say that?
Not from that line. You could look why he says it, but I don't think it makes any sense. It's very hard to understand. Rav Schachter, I think, says Echad Minei Aleph is like 1 in 100,000 or 1 in 1,000,000. In other words, it's an expression. It's an expression. You know, I think even 1 in 1,000 we would be Mechal Shabbos for. If somebody goes ahead and they get a cut, and the doctor says, well, if you don't get stitches, there's a 1 in 1,000 chance that you'll die. I think we would suggest that they get stitches, even if it's Chol Shabbos Deraisa. Okay, so we're going to start the next melacha, at least start it. So the next melacha is, which we sort of already started a little bit, is Chovel. And the geder of the melacha, we're not at Tachov yet, shochet, or netilas neshama. So we learn from Eilim ma'adamim, that were nishchetu l'melachas ha-mishkan, l'tzorach oroseihen, that shochet is one of the melachos on Shabbos. There's machlokas tanaim about killing a kina on Shabbos, whether you're a violation. According to Elazar, horeg kina b'Shabbos, kahoreg gamal b'Shabbos. According to the chachamim, Potter. Why? So the question is, do you learn from Oros Elim? Or what do you learn from Oros Elim? So Blazer says, Oros Elim. Ma Elim, Sheish Ba Netilas Neshama. Af Kol Sheish Ba Netilas Neshama. So Kinim have Netilas Neshama. Your five Chanim say no. Why? Because it doesn't procreate. There's no Puravu. Right? Ma Elim de Parn V'Rabin. Af Kol de Parn V'Rabba. So there's two questions we want to discuss over here. I guess we'll do one now and we'll leave one for next time. Oh, the second question for Nagdu today is how does that apply to Bisman Azat? Nowadays, we have observed that kinim do not spontaneously generate. So it's a very fascinating kalistika halacha in terms of how do we deal with situations where seemingly the mitzias that the halacha was based off of the incorrect. We'll see five approaches to that in the poskim over here in terms of killing kinim on Shabbos. You might say, how could you have five approaches? Either mutter or aser? Their poskim say mutter and their poskim say aser, bizman azab, but we'll see five approaches. But I'll just talk about conclude since we just have a couple minutes with a interesting hashkafic point that perhaps emerges from our sugya. And the question is, mechateisit should be totally in purifu. So it's true. And we pass on, like the chachamim, that it's mutter to kill the lice because they don't engage in purifu. Why? So you could say dumi demishkan, the Gemara says dumi demishkan, but why would we look at that dumi demishkan? In other words, we know that throughout Masechta Shabbos, there are some things that we say you need Dumya D'Mishkan, and they're Pater if there ain't no Dumya D'Mishkan, and other things we say no, that is not a significant distinction, and therefore you're Chayev, even though in the Mishkan it was done under different circumstances. So it's very odd that, like, this particular Prat we would look at. In the end of the day, Netilas Neshama, they have a Neshama. So why is Pur Avu something that's so fundamental? So what it sounds like it's saying is that life is totally in the possibility of procreation. And therefore, if you have something that can't procreate, so then it's not fully alive. It's not alive in a sense, in the same sense. If it's not molid, it's not living. Now, I thought that the truth is you sort of see this in the Psukim. Where do you see it in the Psukim? So if we look at Parshas Bereishis, and you see how the lifespan of humans are given. So, V'yadam shloshim ma'ashana v'yolad b'dmuso k'tzalmo v'yikra shemo sheis v'yu yimei adam achavei olido ha-sheis shmona me'ashana v'yolad banim uvanos. In other words, his age was calculated not from when he was born, but from when he procreated. And the same thing for the subsequent generations. You're not really alive until you're molid. So, therefore, we count your lifespan from when you're molid. Now, obviously, for humans, that isn't true anymore. What do I mean to say? Like the Pasuk says, that those that are Shomrim Habris, so Hashem gives them Yad Vashem Tov Mibanim Mibanos. It's Yana Dioma. Right? In other words, what that pasuk is teaching us is it's shayach a hemshich that isn't biological. So life is talui in that hemshich, in that impact. And is there something after you've gone? And for animals, so animals don't have the bris, so if they can't continue, if they're not leaving, if they're not part of their oven, then in a sense, they're not alive. And that's why there's no hariga for birya that's not preu paravirava, because in a sense, it's not really alive. Now, it's interesting. When did humans become different? So if we go to Perek Yud Aleph, when we talk about the toldos of Noach and his descendants, again, we measure from when they gave birth. Ela toldos shem, shem ben ma'ash shana ve'olad asar pachshad, shana sayim achar mabu, v'hi shem, achar ve'olid asar pachshad, chamesh mi'av shana. So when does that change? So it changes with Leidos Avraham Avinu. From Leidos Avraham Avinu till the end of the Torah, we always count lifespan from birth, not from procreation, because of this idea. Es ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan. There's a creation of life that's not just biological creation. In other words, you know, the evolutionists are right from an evolutionary perspective, which is what an animal is shayach to. So if you can't procreate, you're not alive. And that's why you could kill an animal that's not able to procreate. But when it comes to a human, and especially when it comes to a Jew, so, or that's really the chiddush of the Avraham Avinu, so then we say, no, it is totally in the hemshechios, but there's more hemshechios than to have physical offspring. All right, much more to say about that also, but we are out of time. So Bezos Hashem, we will pick up on Wednesday. I hope we'll do all of this malacha, and then on next week, we'll continue with the next malacha. Okay.
I'd like to continue. We don't have time now. But I'd like to continue the discussion on that very last point. Is there some time today when you'll have a little time free time?
Sure. Could you want to call me at 6:30?
Around 6:30? Yeah, I think I can call then.
Okay.
We'll try to remember. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for this year.
Thank you.